Evernorth Health Services, we believe costs shouldn't get in the way of life-changing care. And we're doing everything in our power to make it possible. Behavioral health solutions that also keep your projections at their best? It's possible. Pharmacy benefits that benefit your bottom line? It's possible. Complex specialty care that cares about your ROI? It's possible. Because we're already doing it. All while saving businesses billions. That's Wonder made possible. Learn more at evernorth.com/wonder.
This is Optimal Work Daily, episode 1307. 4 Signs You Hate Your Job and 5 Things You Can Do About It, part 2, by Kristen Wong with GetRichSlowly.org. And I'm Dan, I am your host here, and welcome back to the show that is all about sharing the best work and entrepreneurship content on the web, and we do that every day in about 10 minutes or less. So now let's finish up the post that we started yesterday as we continue hearing from Kristen and optimize your life. 4 Signs You Hate Your Job and 5 Things You Can Do About It, Part 2, by Kristen Wong with GetRichSlowly.org. 2. Transition. Unless your job is weighing on your health, which does happen, it might be best to gradually unstick yourself from a sticky situation. You can definitely take the plunge, and that might work for you too. But the other option is getting your feet wet and gradually easing into unfamiliar waters. Easing in might mean finding part-time work somewhere else until you can let go of your job completely. It might mean searching for another job in your free time. 3. Change your job without quitting. Can your feeling stuck be remedied by working from home? Would you be happier with a different schedule? If there are simple changes that could drastically improve your work life, it might be worth negotiating them with your boss before deciding to quit altogether. There's also the option of applying for a different position. If what you hate is something specific, your boss, your work environment, a project, perhaps it's not a bad idea to simply change your position at your current organization. Especially if you haven't been there long, staying at the same company might also be better for building your resume. 4. Communicate. There have been at least a few times in my working life where I felt overworked and underpaid, only to realize this was easily fixed with a simple conversation. Asking for a raise can be awkward, but many times you won't get one, at least not for a while, unless you ask. Lately, I've been working on speaking up about my frustrations. I don't throw a fit, but I'm learning to make issues known in a polite and diplomatic way. A few things have helped in airing my grievances effectively. First, don't get personal. I make the situation the issue, not my boss or the company. If I'm not getting paid enough, for example, I'll bring up the issue of those darn budget cuts rather than blaming my supervisors or their decisions. And second, be honest. Your boss is a human being, so he or she can probably relate to why something bothers you. It might not hurt to simply be honest about the issue, but avoid talking about how it makes you feel and instead focus on why, logically, the situation doesn't work for you. Not getting a raise affects your budget. Tackling another project keeps you from spending time with your spouse. I was once honest about a time issue with my boss, and he responded, "Yeah, come to think of it, don't send me anything after 6 p.m. My wife's been complaining that I work too much." And third, emphasize your work ethic. I try to remind my boss that I enjoy my job and that I'll continue to put in loads of effort. I feel like this eases any concern that I'm only interested in what I'm owed and not what I can contribute. Of course, I understand that talk to your boss might not be a viable option for all of us because some bosses are not open to hearing what you have to say. And 5, change your outlook. My mom has a story about the power of changing your outlook. She realizes this isn't the best option for everyone, but sometimes it is. I asked her to write about it. Quote, "I used to work in retail, a job that was supposed to be a stepping stone. But before I knew it, I was there for 7 years and growing increasingly dissatisfied and ungrateful. So I asked myself, do I change my environment or my outlook? At that moment, I realized I had overstepped this stone. So I chose change my environment. I went back to school to improve my chances of getting a better job, and that's how I ended up at my current office job. I was excited about my new job, and I enjoyed the work. But a year later, a new supervisor and new coworkers changed the atmosphere. It got so bad, I allowed it to affect my home life, which I regret to this day. So I found myself asking the same question. Do I change environment or outlook? I felt unappreciated and ignored by the new supervisor and taken advantage of by coworkers. I chose, this time, to change my way of thinking because I liked the work I was doing and I had to think about providing for my young family at the time. I did my best to not allow my coworkers or environment to get to me. I did my work and went home. Eventually, things got better. Looking back, choosing to change my way of thinking not only helped me to overcome that work environment, but also to grow as a person. End quote. My mom weighed the pros and cons of staying versus leaving and decided that staying was the best decision, financially and career-wise. At work, she shifted her focus to her family. She says it's a decision that's served her well. You just listened to part two of the post titled, Four Signs You Hate Your Job and Five Things You Can Do About It, by Kristen Wong with GetRichSlowly.org. When it comes to hiring, don't go searching for the one. Just meet your match with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites. And one of the things I really love about Indeed is that it filters out those incompatible applicants. So when you're hiring, the process is much faster and you only have to consider applicants that are already likely to be a great fit. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/startup. So just go to Indeed.com/startup right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/startup. Terms and conditions apply. And thank you again to Kristen for this great post, and we also have to thank J.D. Roth, who's the owner and founder of GetRichSlowly.org. He considers himself just a regular guy who's learned about money through the school of hard knocks. By 2004, he had acquired over $35,000 of consumer debt through credit cards, personal loans, and a car loan, and was living paycheck to paycheck on a salary of $50,000 a year. He didn't have savings, and in October of that year, he hit rock bottom. And then drafted a 3-year plan to get out of debt and never looked back. In less than a year, he had set aside a $5,000 emergency fund and had increased his cash flow by $750 a month. He put that into debt reduction, and in December of 2007, just 3 years later, right on schedule, he became debt-free for the first time in his adult life. And now, he's an early retiree. So come by GetRichSlowly.org for a lot more, plenty of articles and resources there for you to check out. But with that, we have reached the end of another episode, and I thank you so much for joining me for this two-parter from Kristen. We couldn't do this show without you, of course, and I really appreciate you being here and listening every single day, and I'll see you right back here tomorrow, where your optimal life awaits.